That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Does anyone actually know what's going on here?
I literally have no idea.
Help.
We're 20 whatever.
Hi.
Hey.
Hello.
And welcome back to 20 whatever.
Woohoo. Paloma's saying it for the first time.
Ah, how you feeling, girl?
It feels great.
You know, it's funny. In our first couple episodes, since, you know, I had done this before, I kind of felt like I had to be the one to, like, drive it.
Yeah,
please.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I'm like, take the wheel.
Yeah.
Let me be the passenger.
We definitely, I think for sure, I appreciate it because I was like, I don't know what we're doing here. Like, I'm here and, like, yeah, we've done this, but, like,
yeah,
we haven't really done. But now I'm like, let's do this. We got it. We're good.
I feel like we've hit our stride.
For sure.
I know. I feel like once we're done shooting like one episode, we're like, okay, can we shoot another? Should we do another one? Yeah. Try to squeeze in.
Which we'll see if we feel that way today.
Oh.
Because this episode is going to get personal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think someone's feelings are going to get a little hurt.
Yeah.
Present. I know. I'm like, okay, here we go. But remember, others' opinions. No, what is it? What's my saying? It's like,
what other people think of you is none of your business.
But right now it really is.
So go drive. Captain, you are the captain of the ship.
We're going to be reacting and reading your assumptions about us. We asked on Instagram. So if you're not following us on Instagram, go follow us at 20 whatever podcast. We do a lot of polls and stuff on there. So we asked you guys, what are some of your assumptions about the three of us as a group, as individuals? And
why are my paws sweating? Like, literally sweating.
They're a little unhinged. I only looked at them a little bit. So Jess compiled all of them. So we've seen some of them, but like we don't exactly know what she picked and what's coming. But some of them were like so sweet. Some of them were a little brutal. And we picked a good variety.
There was a lot. We had a ton of submissions, like a ton.
Yay.
Which is so cool.
Yeah.
Like, and we want to do more episodes like this that involve you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And we're pretty much going to source everything for that from the 20 whatever Instagrams.
So yes.
Follow that. Should we just...
How are we doing this?
Should we get right into it?
I know. I was like, let's just rip the Band-Aid off. Let's just start
actually
this.
Yeah, actually, see. How are we going about this?
Would you like to pick a category?
Ooh, it's like smarter than a fifth grader. We have categories.
I'm going to lose.
Give me computer.
So here's one. One of you was hesitant to commit to the podcast.
Oh.
Ooh.
I don't think you ever were, right?
No, I was ready. I was going. I was like, balls to the wall, let's go.
I think that I was a hair hesitant because I understood that doing a podcast meant like people involved in my life and stuff like that. And I was just a little anxious to see what this meant, you know?
Like the response.
Yeah, the response. Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like after we had all talked about it and you kind of like, you know, got your bearings about like what it could mean, you were like ready to do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And honestly, I think that hesitation was kind of a confirmation that like you really were thinking through it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think if it was an immediate like, oh my gosh, of course I want to do this, it's like, have you thought about the what the ramifications could be? And, you know, living such a public life is a blessing and a struggle.
Right.
And so I think you having that time to think about it and process it made me feel confident. Like, okay, Paloma, you know what you're getting into here and you want to.
Right. Yeah. Right. Correct. Yeah, absolutely.
That was okay.
We're getting
that one didn't hurt
too much.
That one was
fine.
Slight work.
Another one about the podcast. You think your 30s and beyond will be easier?
No. Ooh.
No.
I think that my teens were by far the hardest part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, right now, I am in a much better place with my mental health than I was at a teenager. So I'm hopeful that it will continue to get better.
I think my 20s are way harder than my teenage years. Like, I feel like I am constantly going through it.
Yeah.
So there's nothing really to say that, like, my 30s won't be like this or harder.
Yeah, I'm... I don't know why, honestly, why I think that they're not going to be. It just, I don't feel like life gets easier. I just think that it's just like every day at a time, and there's new struggles that come up with every age. And I'm sure that at 30, I might not be having the same struggles as now, but there'll be new things where it's like, I have a kid and I'm like, I don't want them to feel pain. And like, that's a certain, like, I'm not the one being bullied or something like that, but my kid, and you're seeing them go through that. So I'm sure that that will bring another layer of difficulties.
Yeah.
I think 30s. Also the older you get, the more life experience you have, which means you have a wider perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the wider your perspective, the easier it is to look at things and be like, okay, this isn't life ending the way I thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I was a teenager, everything that happened to me was the end of the world.
Yeah.
Because my my life experience was so small that I didn't have the scope to look and be like, but like, look at how much else is going on, and this will pass so quickly. And so I think now it's a lot easier for me to, like, have perspective on things. And I hope that'll get better as I get older.
Yeah.
You're right about that. Having more perspective and more understanding that, oh my gosh, this isn't the end of the world. I can be like, take a step back and a breather and be like, okay, you're just going to get through it.
Yep.
Because you've done it before.
Exactly.
I also feel like the work you do in your 20s, it will help you into your 30s, right? Like
that too.
And I'm thinking about my life now, right? Like, okay, there are a lot of things that I know that I need to get a handle on before, you know, I move on into my 30s and, you know, 40s and et cetera, that if I don't handle, it's just going to get worse and it's going to get harder.
So you're doing the work now to hopefully make the road ahead a little easier.
Definitely.
Yep.
Oof, damn.
All right. So here's one for group dynamics. Sierra is the oldest, Ryan is the middle, and Paloma is the youngest.
Wrong.
I'm the oldest, aren't I?
Yeah. I think we're all within 6 months of each other.
Yeah.
Right? Because I'm January.
But you're
95.
I'm 95.
Because you're December, right?
November.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
November, January. April. I'm the baby.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wrong.
I'm the baby.
Well, it's also interesting because we all are, we're only six, the range between the three of us is 6 months. So it's not as big of like an age dynamics thing. Whereas I think if we were like 3 years apart, 4 years apart, it could play in more.
Right.
So that's like, I guess, okay, they probably assume that you're the oldest because you have a baby and whatever, you're a mom. That's fine. But I wonder how they determined the rest, like the ranking of that.
Yeah.
What happened?
Look at me. I'm baby.
Ryan and Sierra, this one is for you. It's that Ryan and Sierra would have been those theater kids who perform in Denny's.
Ugh, that is so cringe. Guilty.
Never.
No.
Way.
Oh my gosh.
No, I was not the type to like stand on the table.
But you went to Denny's.
I was there.
You were there, but you weren't singing.
I was there, but I was not singing.
Oh, really? Mm-mm. I totally would think you would.
No.
See, we weren't Denny's, we were Coco's.
Okay.
Did you guys go to Coco's?
We did Denny's. Yeah, or like we did IHop, Denny's or IHop. I think.
Mm-hmm.
We did IHOP a couple times, but our like spot was Coco's. And they like they knew, but I think maybe because Coco's isn't like a huge chain, right?
No,
like,
and they took the ones that were around here. Like down. There's like not any.
Well, I think because it was more like locally owned, they like kind of loved it. Or maybe that's what we thought. But they would like put the tables together for us.
Yeah.
And then they would be like, oh, were you guys in a show? Like, sing something for us. And we'd all be like, no, okay. And then start singing.
Yeah, right.
So I think we did terrorize the patrons of Coco's.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But the actual...
Like the staff.
The staff, right. They were like low-key here for it. At least that's what we thought.
Well, I mean, if they were asking, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you singing on the tables? Or what was the tea?
I remember going into definitely to a Denny's one time and we all still had our face makeup on. Like it was one of those shows that like it was very clear you were in a musical and they came in and they were like, oh, it's that like they're kind of you could see like in the eyes of the waiters just like, oh, no. And there were moments where we would break out into song. I'm not going to lie. So
We did never stand on tables and chairs, though. We only did it seating.
We were respectful.
Or just standing near the table.
Standing near the table. I was there for it. Like, I was like,
you didn't think it was like,
no,
awful.
I was just like, I just sang.
Yeah.
I'm tired. And I'm probably talking about like how like the rehearsal went. Like, I'm like, I'm trying to eat and like talk.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to get the goss.
The best gossip was after the show closed. Because then it was like, what? Like going out for like after show.
Wait, okay.
Dinner.
You think the best gossip was after the show, or was it like during tech week?
Oh, personally,
I think it was before. You're right.
Whoa.
You're right.
I don't even know how we're gonna open in like 4 days. Right, like, right. Did you see Stacey? She forgot her lines. How are we even supposed to go on? Like, oh, it would be.
I literally saw so and so and so and so in the back, like literally kissing. Like, can you even believe? Because last night.
Okay, we need to do an entire episode on theater because I'm sitting here like, let's just keep talking about
this. Yeah, right, I know. Actually, I forgot what we were doing.
For another pod.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Okay, so the next theater assumption is you guys were the popular theater kids.
I feel like it depends so much on the show.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I think there were like a couple things like as a teen in theater that like led to like your social standing in the cast. Number one is like, how long you've been with that theater company.
Yes.
Like, if you know the people who are in every show, if you know the director, the choreographer, like, that's number one.
Like, when you walk into the audition or callback room, they're like, oh, hey, oh Sia, like, hey, girl, miss you, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Mm. Those people have, like, seniority, you know? Yes. They're just, like, already known by everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have who are the leads.
Yeah. Yes.
And so then even if you're new to that company, but you're a lead, you automatically kind of get, like, a little boost.
Yeah. Yes.
Because, like, a lot of the other leads will be people who've been with that company for a long time. So, like, you're hanging out with them and then you're kind of part of that group.
Yeah.
I feel like those were, like, the two main things. So, like, some shows, yes, but other shows, definitely not.
And I also feel like you're, like, popular adjacent, right? Like,
yes.
Because growing up, personally, for me, like, I was in the popular group, but I was, like, never a lead. Like, I was, like, always in the ensemble, but all of my friends.
You were friends with the leads.
With the leads, yes. and the production team and all of that. So I was with all of that. But I wasn't really like, I wasn't lead. I wasn't really doing that.
I also think it comes with age as well, because when I was younger in theater, I remember always looking up to the older ones and just being like, wow, like they're so cool. And, right. You know, they like they can sing well and just like super in awe of them.
Yeah. I think for like the theater company that I mainly did shows with growing up, I was like part of that group because I also worked there. So I was like part of like the family of that theater. I was in every show. If I wasn't in the show, I was working it. I was always the one bringing people to and from the callback room. So I was
okay, can we talk about why that was like the best job to have?
The job to walk people into the audition room.
Because no one's allowed.
To sit there. Yeah,
because no one's
allowed. Today we have numbers 57 through 67 coming in. And you hand the resumes on the desk.
Yes. And then you go out and you're like, okay, they're ready for you.
Yeah.
Because no one is behind that table during audition. So the fact that somebody who might potentially be in the show gets to hear, like, I actually specifically remember one time I was in for a big audition and one of the gals that was a part of the popular group was the one in charge of moving that. And I was like, she's going to sit in there and hear me sing. And I'd rather just, jump off a cliff.
Yeah. So when I did that, that made me feel like that bitch.
Oh, yeah. But then
any other show I did with any other company, like when we were with Les Mis, which that theater company had a lot of problems.
A lot of problems.
But I was like, I was in the ensemble and I didn't know anyone. So then I was definitely like, definitely not the popular one.
Yeah.
But we hung out backstage. We had our little group. Out.
I knew one of the girls that was a lead.
Uh-huh.
And so that was kind of my like.
That was your in?
That was my in. It totally was. Because there was no reason for me to even like be a part of that group. But I slithered my way right in there.
Yeah, I was definitely not. I did not know any of the leads. I just hung out with all of my fellow lovely ladies.
Yep. Yep. Good times.
So, yeah, I think that probably with the theater company that I was at in my, like, high school years, I felt, like, quote unquote popular because I was just there for a while and, like, they just knew me. So, like, when I would go into – I was that girl, like, at the tail end where I'd show up and they'd be like, oh, my God, Paloma, how are you doing? Like,
yeah.
I was just there at the last show, so I just knew everyone. So.
Yeah.
All right, our next assumption is about Ryan.
Ooh.
It's like in class when someone gets in trouble.
Ooh. Yeah.
Or on Full House, like the backing track.
Oh.
Aww.
Yeah.
Sorry. Read the question.
The assumption is Ryan tells you straight to your face if she has problems with you in a tough but nice way.
Yeah, I would say yeah.
I feel like, yeah.
I mean, I think depending on what the problem is, it may be not as nice. But if it's just like, hey, girl, we probably need to work on this, or I didn't like whatever. Yeah, I definitely would say it to your face.
I feel like you're direct and you're never mean without reason. Like, you never, like, personally attack people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, if there's anything that could be construed as, like, mean, it's, like, about the problem at hand.
Yes. And probably, like, just the directness.
Yeah.
Right? Because I feel like a lot of people, honestly, really aren't that direct.
Yeah.
And so they kind of skirt around stuff. So when someone is like, hey, this is a problem, they're like, oh, my God, she's so mean.
Yeah. But it's,
right,
you're
right,
not.
It's not. Yeah. What do you think? Did that tell you about the problems we got?
I think so. No, I definitely think that you let your opinions be known, what, like, and if, especially when you, it's like you stand for what you believe in. Mm-hmm. And so if that's something that doesn't support or is just like affecting someone, either you or someone that you love, you'll definitely bring up the issue, I think.
Which is so powerful. Like, I'm very inspired by that. Like, I need to do more of that.
Feels good. You should do it.
Yeah.
and to some degree, I think people like respect that.
For
after
sure.
They get out of their like feelings, right? If their feelings are hurt or whatever, they feel like, whatever, then they can go back and be like, wow, like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, she really meant what she said. And like, you know, it can like reflect on that.
All right. Our next assumption is for Sierra.
Ooh.
And it is that.
Sorry.
The assumption is Sierra swears more than she leads on.
Does she?
I don't think so. I think maybe a little bit. I don't really swear that much in my regular life.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I use it for like either like a term of endearment, like, hey, bitch.
Right.
Or like, if like emphasis, like if I'm really like mad or fired up. But I don't think I really like curse a lot in my day to day language.
Right.
What do you guys think? More or less online?
Yeah, I don't.
I feel like it's the same.
Yeah.
Honestly.
You know when it really comes out? When I'm drinking.
Okay. Well, that's fair.
That filter off. And that's maybe why I curse a little more on the podcast.
Maybe because we're like,
we always have drinking. A drink.
Oh, tea.
See, I know. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, but not that
no, but
much.
It's honestly pretty this much the same.
I actually do remember talking about this with you one time, Sierra, because I said, I was like, gosh, I need to stop using that F word. So, and you're like, Paloma, I don't use it that often because when I say it, I want it to have like emphasis on it, to have meaning. And I was like, you're so right, because now I'm just, whenever I really am like, oh, it's like not giving what I want it to give, I'm like, oh, maybe I should hold back on them.
Right, right, right.
All right. Our next assumption is a little political.
Ooh. Dicey.
I mean,
it is. You're Democrats, no judgments, but you seem to align with those beliefs.
I guess.
And I see the part where it says like you seem to align with those beliefs. And I'm like, well,
I think if it's a two-party system, right? If it's your Republican or your Democrat, I way more Democrat. Yes, then I'm like 100% a Democrat.
Yes.
But if you're looking at a whole political spectrum, I am not a Democrat. Really,
yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just if it's this or that, I'm going to pick this.
Yeah.
Right.
Agree.
I completely agree. I would much rather identify as progressive.
Yeah. Progressive leftist.
Yeah. I feel like I would go, I really lean more like progressive libertarian, because I'm very like, if it's not hurting anyone, do what you want.
Agree.
Right.
And
agreed.
So
big move.
I usually once a year, I'll take that political compass test to kind of see where my beliefs have kind of changed and shifted.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very like, bottom left, which is like libertarian, but leftist.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun. I actually want to take that
you
test.
Should. Yeah. It's really like interesting because it encompasses the entire spectrum instead of just a two-party system.
Right.
Mm, good.
Our next assumption is that Paloma is very extroverted. Ryan is always confident. And Sierra is never lazy.
Oh.
You know, that's funny. That hits like a deep insecurity of mine. I am so afraid of being perceived as lazy to the point that I overwork and overexert myself. I'm getting better. But it used to be that like I couldn't even have like an evening of like watching a movie, taking a bath without being like, oh my God, I'm so lazy. I should be working. I should be doing this. I should be cleaning my kitchen. Like it was, I really, really fell into toxic productivity.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of years ago, like pre-pandemic, someone saying never lazy would have just made me feel so warm and fuzzy inside. And now I'm a little bit more like, no, sometimes I like to be lazy.
Right.
Sometimes my kitchen gets messy. Sometimes my videos don't go up on time. but that's okay.
And I think that that word lazy has like such a negative connotation, because honestly, I don't think sometimes you're being lazy. You're honestly just sitting down and resting.
Yeah. Right. You know, that's like, not lazy.
And it's a view of seeing that, oh, you're being lazy. I'm like, I'm actually just resting, or, you know,
doing nothing, which I'm doing allowed nothing. To do. Yeah.
And I think also being a plus size person plays into that, because of the stereotype of like fat people are lazy and gross and this and that, that I feel like, okay, I cannot be perceived as lazy. I cannot be perceived as someone who doesn't do anything, who doesn't exercise enough, who doesn't work enough,
right?
Who sits on the couch all the time. Like, I feel, and I think maybe that was part of my like kind of addiction to productivity, was like, I am not lazy. I'm always doing stuff. I'm always working. I'm like, I've kind of had to deconstruct that a little bit in therapy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well.
So Ryan, always confident.
No, I'm not. But I know how to pretend that I am to help my actual self feel more confident. I do think people perceive me as a very confident person, and that's not true. Like, I am.
Yeah.
But I'm not always confident. I mean, how can you be? I'm definitely not, but I try to be like, oh yeah, no, I'm good. It's good. We're good. Yes.
What's that like? I think it's Meg Thee Stallion's TikTok where it's like, what do you do on the days that you don't feel confident?
Oh, pretend.
Yeah, pretend.
Isn't that Riri?
They both said it.
Oh, they both did. Okay.
They both said it. But
fake
I mean,
it till, fake
but
it till you make it, baby.
Yes, because I mean, Rihanna goes, what I do it, cry at home? And who wants to do that? I said, who wants to do? Not I.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
And so you just fake it until it feels right, and then you good.
Yeah. And then me being
very extroverted.
I think that's interesting, because at first I'm like, yes, I'm super extroverted, but that's not also how I feel all the time. I really think that I'm pretty reserved when I'm meeting someone new. I don't do really well with like small talk. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I'm good at it, but I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't know, because in that moment I'm still trying to like feel out how it goes, and so I just feel like I reserve myself a little bit more and like sense the situation before I get extroverted. And I think when I'm comfortable, then you can't get me to shut up, and I'm so sorry.
I think you're an extroverted introvert.
Yeah,
because like you are extroverted, especially around people you know and people you trust. Like, again, like she said, she literally will not stop talking. It's ridiculous. But around people, you still feel the need to talk to them and like, you know, open up and all stuff. But like inside, you're like,
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I love hanging out by myself. Oh my gosh. Mm. My own person being by myself. Oh, just introverted. Thing. Nobody speak to me.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Don't look at me.
Which
don't.
I think is proof that you're not fully an extrovert, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Being completely extroverted is like getting that like energy from being around people versus like needing to recharge.
Agreed. Ooh. Yeah. Good point, Sierra.
All right. This assumption is that you have all grown up in safe areas and maybe a bit sheltered.
I definitely was always safe growing up, but also like having a teen mom when I was obviously younger, like I never grew up sheltered. I know I lived on campus with her when she was in college. You know, we lived in a bunch of different apartments, and, you know, I had to go to work with her all the time. So it definitely was not sheltered at all, but I was always safe, and I was always made sure I was taken care of. And even when I wasn't with her, when I was with our other family, like, it was always very safe. So
I definitely grew up in like a safe area. I think somewhat sheltered, yes. Like, especially when I was really young, I think I got less sheltered as I got older. But like in my house, like, we were only allowed to watch KPBS. Like, we couldn't watch Nickelodeon, like Disney Junior, because it was like, but you know what's funny is, as a kid, I thought that was because like the shows on those channels were bad.
Right.
Turns out my dad was like very, very like anti-consumerism advertising to children. And KPBS, because it's publicly funded, there's no commercials. So he didn't want us being advertised to. He was very against that.
Gotcha.
So in some ways we were very sheltered in that. And, you know, we lived in a very, you know, pretty sheltered, privileged area. But I think my parents, they tried their best to make sure that we understood that that is not everyone's normal.
Yeah.
You know, and that they wanted to make sure that we had a wider worldview and that we could empathize with people in other positions. And that's something that I think has been very important to me as a parent, is like parenting Grace. She's going to grow up with a ton of privilege. that is her reality. There's nothing wrong with that, right? People who grow up that way, that's not, there's nothing wrong with that. But it becomes a problem when that you think that that's normal.
Yeah.
And that you look at other people's lives and say, well, maybe they should just work harder.
Right.
Get off your ass and fucking work. Right.
Yeah.
Because they, it's this lack of understanding of like where what you have comes from of, oh, it comes because I worked hard,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I have this great life and all of that, which wasn't really the question. It was more about being sheltered. But
right.
I think that all kind of plays in hand. You know?
I think so.
But as a kid, I think, you know, I did grow up relatively sheltered. I think less so as I got older. But I am grateful that my parents tried to make sure that we weren't in just this echo chamber of thinking that this is how everyone lives.
Yeah,
I completely agree. I also grew up sheltered and in safe areas, but my parents made sure that I was aware that that was not everyone's reality. I grew up Catholic. And so when I went to Mexico, there were some times where we would spend our time in the church, in the mission, at the hospitals, just seeing just how the disparity is within groups is just not the same. And just becoming aware of that, I think, really affected me positively. And so now moving forward, I'm like, I'm so thankful that I grew up in a safe area, and let me help those that aren't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's so powerful and important. And I think that my parents were very similar in that, like, I grew up in a sheltered area, but I don't think they sheltered me. I always could ask my parents questions. So yes, I was sheltered in where I was living and kind of like my upbringing, but my parents were very, very open to answering any question I had, be it drugs, sex, alcohol, you know, and really sexuality, like anything. Like, they were very open. Mm. And I think that helped me to have a wider understanding.
Right.
I think the older I got, the more my parents tried to shelter me.
That's so interesting. So we're opposite.
Yeah. And I was like, no.
So I'm honestly over here trying to think, like, in what ways did my parents try to shelter me from, like, certain things? I don't know. I think that it was also back to, like, the TV. Like, my mom would be like, okay, you can't watch that show. But I think it was just because she thought it would make me, quote unquote, dumb. Like, it was dumb. But other than that, there was nothing that she was like, you can't consume that.
We couldn't watch SpongeBob until I was, like, 9.
That's the show? I was not allowed to watch SpongeBob.
That and Fairly Odd Parents. My parents were like, they have bad attitudes. Mm-hmm. They're going to make you guys bratty.
Yep. I completely agree.
Cannot relate.
Did you watch a lot of SpongeBob?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then I had to, like, make up for it, I felt like, when I was an adult, because all my friends knew what was up. And then I was like, oh, my gosh. Well, thankfully, SpongeBob was around for forever. And they had, like, rerun episodes and new ones and new
ones.
And my brother, like, of course, the younger one, got to actually watch SpongeBob. Right. And I'm like, hey, why do you guys let him watch it? And they're like, oh, well.
We have to do a whole episode on, like, siblings.
Younger siblings.
That's
the way my little brother had, like, no rules.
Oh, well. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Girl.
What's that about?
I remember I tried to ask my parents, like, I told my parents it was sexist. Actually, this was from my older brother, because he didn't have a curfew and I did. And I was like, this is sexist.
Yeah.
Like, why am I not allowed to go out until midnight? Why is my curfew 11, but he doesn't have one? And my parents were like, because you go out every night. Like, you go out with your friends all the time. He was more of a homebody. And they're like, we're begging him to get out of the house.
Right,
we're like, we're not going to tell him to come home. And I'm like,
fair.
But I'm still going to claim sexist.
Yeah, for sure.
Because let me stay out till midnight.
Because baby Sierra is like, this is sexist. Yeah, I can see her right now. Hands up.
All right. So there were a lot of submissions for assumptions that Ryan and Paloma are secretly dating.
It's not a secret, y'all. Just kidding.
Cat's out of the bag. I think you guys are confused.
Yes.
I have a boyfriend named Ryan. And my best friend's name is Ryan, and we all live together.
Which, to be fair, very confusing.
Very.
I did not know your boyfriend's name was Ryan. And when we were on the Big Bear trip, you're like talking, like, Ryan and I are doing this. Ryan and I are going this trip. I'm like, wow, like, man, you and Ryan, like, really do everything together. And then I'm like, oh, two Ryans, which Paloma calls them
boy Ryan, girl Ryan.
And she said that you've said that on the pod a few times. Like,
yeah, and it's absolutely necessary because since I live with both of them, if I strictly am just like, Ryan, they'll both pop their heads. Yes. So it's just much easier. Yeah. Boy Ryan, girl Ryan. And so you'll probably hear me saying boy Ryan, girl Ryan.
Yes.
Ryan, any thoughts about our love?
Confess, I love you. I'm just not in love with you.
Oh, yeah, no. I've heard that one before.
Damn, cut deep. Sarah, do you want to talk about it?
No, I'm fine.
Yeah, no. I mean, I think my while there was so many of these, I was like, I don't understand why people assume that. And I think it's just because we're close and they're like, well, Ryan's queer, so, which that's a weird assumption. Maybe don't do that. But also, maybe your friends don't like you as much as we like each other. Maybe your friends just don't like you. I don't know.
Right.
And there's that brutal honesty.
And maybe, I don't know.
It's
maybe
brutal they do. Out here, baby.
It's brutal. It's brutal out here.
All right, our next assumption is that you earn good money from social media. No shade, just what I assume.
I definitely do now. You know, I think the interesting thing with YouTube is it's not like another job where you start at like an entry level salary and then work your way up. Like, I started in the negative because you're spending money on like clothes, equipment, stuff for DIYs, because DIYs were so big when I started. So I was in the negative for like my first 2 years. And then it got to the point where I was making enough money to like supplement my income with my other job. And then it got to the point where like I no longer needed my other job and I quit. And then I got to the point of like, oh, I'm making more than I would if I had gotten my degree and like gone to be a teacher, which was my original plan. And then it became like, oh, wow, like I'm making money. Like I can hire people. I can have a team. I have enough to be able to hire people and support them as well.
Yeah.
Which was really cool. And I think my favorite part about building social media into a business is I could continue to make videos all on my own and I would make more money for sure, but it wouldn't be as fun. I don't think my videos would be as good. And it's a really cool opportunity to be able to be a job creator.
Right.
Right.
It's cool. And I love being able to do that. And, you know, I want to make sure that I'm making it a priority, that I'm paying my employees well, and that we have a really good work environment, and that I'm upping the quality of my videos as well. But yeah, I mean, I make great money from social media and it's been a huge blessing.
Can't wait for that to be me.
Yeah, it will be.
Yeah.
It will be.
Yeah. On our way, baby.
Yeah.
Have you guys like experienced it all, like brands reaching out or anything?
Yeah, I had, but not like, it's like gifted. They're like, we want to send you stuff.
That's
and
I'm how
like,
I started too.
I was like, send me all the things. Yeah. It was cool. I was like, me?
Yeah.
But at first I was like, is this fake?
That was my thought too.
There's so many bots on Instagram that are like, DM us. Like, we're, you know, blah, blah, blah. But this was a real brand. And I was like, oh my God.
I know.
I love.
Yeah. Oh,
congratulations,
and
girl.
It's also really cool, not only for like the free stuff, but also to like learn how to do a sponsorship, right?
Yeah.
Like the submission process, how to talk about a product in an organic way while still hitting talking points. Like it takes a while to learn. So I think doing those like gifted collabs is so valuable.
Yeah. Yeah. And you are able to like create content also. Like you're getting content out of it. They're getting whatever it is that they want out of it. And you got a free thing.
Yeah. I'm on that same train as Ryan, still getting in the DMs like, we'll send you this product if you review it for us. I'm like, okay.
Have you joined the TikTok Creator Fund?
No, I haven't.
You should, because I bet you'd make a couple $100 a month off of it.
And
because you get
like
good views
so
on TikTok.
Yeah.
Oh, say less.
Yeah, you should definitely join the Creator Fund.
Okay.
It's way lower CPM than YouTube, which is like cost per 1,000 views. Because obviously people are watching it less.
Oh,
you know,
if
an ad. Usually a YouTube video will have like 3 or 4 ads, whereas a TikTok, they're getting one ad for every 4 or 5 videos.
Mm-hmm.
So it's lower. And also TikTok just does not pay as well as YouTube. Shout out YouTube. But it's money.
Yeah.
I make a couple $100 a month off of it.
Listen, Sierra, as soon as this episode ends, I'm signing
up. Yeah, right.
All right. Here's a friendship assumption. It's hard to be friends with a mom without having kids of your own.
No.
No,
I think it could be, and I'm sure it is for others, but you have so many interests and so many other things in your life that you talk about that we all like experience together that make the time with Grace and the times we talk about Grace so enjoyable.
Oh,
right.
Good.
Like if literally all you talked about was Grace and like Grace was everywhere all the time, we would be like, okay, we're a little kid out.
Get it out. Yeah.
Get it out. But like, when we get to see Grace, it's like so exciting and like fun. And
she's
when
an
we
icon.
Talk about her, oh my God.
And she loves you guys. Blowing kisses as blowing, we go up the stairs.
It's just so great. But I feel like it's easy because you don't, it's like, it's kind of like the bringing your partner everywhere.
Yeah.
Same kind of thing, right? I mean, obviously, if you have to bring your kid everywhere, like we're not mad.
Right.
But you don't allow that to like consume you as an entire, like a person.
And
you know I mean?
And you are such a great mom, but you're not just a mom. You are so much more than that. Like you are a wife, you're a friend, and you, like Ryan said, you are able to like totally relate because why? You're not just a mom, like, you know? Yeah. So, and I do see where it, like people probably believe like it might be hard, like being friends with someone who's a mom.
Right.
And I think that the difficulty, like the first thing that popped into my mind was like, how could I not be friends with someone like that? And I'm like, probably just, they just don't have enough time. Like they maybe can't make it to the bar as often.
Right, right.
But, but if you schedule the time, you know.
It is a huge time thing. Like, that, you know, I don't have as much time.
Right.
But also I am hugely privileged in like, Steven can watch her all the time. We have a nanny. We have family who can help.
Yeah.
And then when I am away from Grace, I'm like, let's go. It's a girl's night. We're going to dinner. We're getting drinks. We're doing this cool thing. Like, I want to make the most of that time.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm like, if she's got someone watching her, we're going to go
we
have
good.
Fun.
Yeah. And then we can come home and be like, Grace.
we're filming two episodes today. And this is the second one. In between, we had lunch. Grace sat in her high chair.
Yep.
Yeah, ate some French fries.
Waving, blowing kisses.
Yeah, with the girlies.
I can't wait for her to be a part of this little group, too.
I know.
She's going to be, like, she's not even, like, talking just yet, but I can't wait to hear what she has to say.
I know.
There's no way she's not going to be chatty, like.
Yeah. Well, she's so babbly already. Yeah, like, she talks a lot. We just don't always know what she's saying.
Right, right.
All right, our next assumption is y'all were frat party gals in college.
For one semester, I was.
I didn't go to college, but if I did, I probably would have been at the
parties.
Did
you go to frat parties, though? Even, like, not
no.
just at other colleges? Mm-hmm.
I went to parties, but they were not frat parties. Yeah. No.
I loved going to parties in college, but I think that the frat parties, specifically, like, when it was thrown by the fraternities, it was never as happy, like, as it... It never went as well as I'd like. Like, I'd always show up to the house and, like, the toilet would be broken and it'd be flooded. Like, disgusting, but men don't care. So there's a party going on and we have toilet water by our ankles.
Ew. I have never,
like, what are we
doing? In a grosser place than a frat party.
Yes.
Disgusting.
Like, disgusting.
Think of the nastiest, like, porta potty you could think of and then, like, double it by 10.
Ew.
It is.
How?
But the party is unhinged.
Yeah.
There was one house at SCSU that did Fratlantis. They turned the whole frat house into a water park. The stairs were a slide. Kiddie pools, every room.
A mess.
Amazing. But amazing. Is
that, how do you recover from that?
That's why it's so disgusting.
You know what I think we should do? We should throw like an event or like a party or something, but the theme is frat party. Like the theme is frat party.
Oh.
Okay.
Right?
So,
and then we're Chi Kappa.
Yes.
Yes.
We really should. We should. We should. We should do it.
Do we get a water slide?
Yeah. And it gets us like really crazy. It's Project X. Yeah.
The way that movie like shaped our generation. I don't even think I ever saw the movie, but
we were just talking about it. I was like, I've never seen it, but I know.
But then every high school party, people would be like, it's going to be Project X.
Yep. Yep.
What is Project X?
It was, you don't know?
No, I went to school with a bunch of people who were homeschooled.
Oh, okay, T.
It was.
Please tell us, P, because you're a big Project X fan.
Project X, oh my God.
It's true.
Like, see, told you she's a frat girl. No. So Project X literally was like the blueprint moving forward after that movie, like how you're going to do your party. Like, they would even say like, are we talking Project X or just like a get together? Like Project X status was just people, the house is overflown, the lawn is overflown.
The
cops are called, there's people on the roof.
Yeah.
Yep. And you have jungle juice that's just like flowing everywhere in a fountain. Like it's just absolute
pure
chaos.
Mayhem. Yeah.
And that was just like,
it was like Kickback Project X.
Yep.
Like that was the
scale.
Wait, you guys, I want to just like sidebar. We talked about like Kickback. Like it was it, Mom, I'm not going to party. I'm not
hanging.
It's a Kickback. I remember Mom being like, what's a Kickback? Like, we're kicking back. Like,
So my parents got the idea that a Kickback meant like alcohol, which fair because it did.
Right.
Yeah.
So we started calling them shindigs because it sounded like a little bit more
safer.
Safe.
Yeah. A little shindig.
Oh, yeah. It's just a little shindig. Like, we're going to have a bonfire. So that's what our friends would call it when we were like just having a group hang and it wasn't going to be crazy. Like,
right.
It's just a shindig.
That's genius, though.
Yeah.
Also, we absolutely should do this party because since she didn't get to go to college or those college parties, we should do this for Ryan to have her own experience.
We should. Well, yeah.
No. Do you guys have any, like, what's the craziest, like, Project X style, like, house party you ever went to?
It was Halloween on frat row at SDSU. Ooh. And it was just, the kegs were, like, on the lawn. Just girls were, like, falling out of the house.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Kids are crazy.
Kids are crazy.
The craziest Project X style party I ever went to was, so there was like a week long period where families from my school were doing an exchange program with students from Australia. Mm-hmm. So like there was like 50 or 60 Australian students at our school.
Mm-hmm.
And my friends, I'm just going to give her a fake name. My friend Kate, her parents were going out of town. So we were going to throw a party and she wanted it to be like a pretty, she wanted to have like a big party. Now, the Australian students are in town. So it's now all of us plus the Australians.
Oh, my God.
Plus then the, like, seniors heard about it because we were just sophomores.
Oh.
So now it's, like, a huge part. It was, like, people on the roof, people doing this, people doing that. Plus, you've got 60 Australian students running around, which somehow just made it way more chaotic and fun. Right.
They party down under.
They're telling us about how they do their parties and what they drink, and you have to try this, and you have to do that. And it was, I don't think there were ever any like big consequences because like no one got hurt. Like, but that was like, that was fun. That Kate's party with the Australian exchange students. That was a blast.
No, that's like kind of iconic. There was this one party that I went to and I think I was, I don't know, 15 or 16. Honestly, I was probably 15. And me and my friend like snuck out of her parents' house, even though they weren't there, but we just knew that they were coming back. So we had to be like really chill and like smart about how we got out and so that we could get back in. It was like a whole thing. We got to the party. It was already lit. Like it was live when we got there. And so then we felt like we had to catch up.
Right. Oh. All of a sudden you're like shots.
Yeah, no, it was like shots after shots after shots. So obviously I were like zooted, right? Like gonzo. And then we hear a rumor that the cops were called. The cops weren't called, but everyone got so freaked out. It was like pure mayhem. Like there was people passed out, like whatever, but like couldn't do anything. And like the cops were coming. So like everybody was running. Me and my friend had to like jump over this fence. I like cut my leg.
Oh my gosh.
It was so.
Did we live the same life? I was like, I remember hopping a fence.
But was it like fun, chaotic?
Oh my or
was
God. It, I was living.
Yeah.
The cops.
I was living. Oh my God, the cops are coming. Yeah. And I was like so drunk. And we were like, but we also didn't know how to get home. So, because we were, like, not close.
Yeah.
And, like, that was not the plan to, like, leave, like, at that time. So, my friend had to, like, call, like, her friend's, like, older brother or something, which was, like, sus. And now that I think about it, but anyways, whatever. She, like, called him. He came to pick us up and dropped us off. It was absolutely cracked. Fully cracked.
Do teenagers now just, like, use Uber? Like, oh, I'm stuck here. Like, let me just call an Uber.
I hope so.
I mean, probably I would.
The way we had to, like, do, like, complicated math to, like, get a car to pick us up. Like, this person's mom is going to take you here, and then their brother's going to get you, but only if it's after 9 and if it's before 9. Like,
yeah.
Yep.
Dude, Ubers would have saved
my
life.
All right. So our next assumption is Sierra wants only one more kid, Paloma wants lots of kids, and Ryan wants none. Thank you for spelling Ryan's name right.
Appreciate that.
R-I-A-Y-N.
Yes.
For the commenters.
For the commenters, yes.
I do want another kid, but I'm not sure when, and I'm not sure if I want another one after that. I'm really trying to keep it open.
Mm-hmm.
Before I got pregnant with Grace, I was like, I want as many kids as I can have. I am pretty open to like the spacing that I want. And after my difficult delivery with Grace, my doctor recommended that I wait at least 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
So that was already like a easy barrier to me of like, of course, we're not having kids yet.
Right.
Well, or another kid yet. We are now approaching that point, which is, well, actually, we've passed it because 18 month spacing would be not getting pregnant at, before Grace was 9 months old.
Mm,
she's 13 months.
Yeah.
So I'm past that.
Yeah.
I'm starting to feel ready again. I'm nervous about what trying again will mean
mm-hmm.
because I, you know, had my miscarriages before. I have PCOS. it could come very easily. Who knows? Or it could be another difficult journey. It could be a much longer journey, because even though my journey to get pregnant with Grace was very difficult, it actually wasn't that long. It was like a year and a half-ish. I have no idea what it could mean to kind of open that can of worms again. Mm-hmm. And I'm a little scared. I'm not too scared for actually delivering another baby. I have decided that I'm fairly certain I want a scheduled C-section, which is an option since I had an unplanned C-section before. I'm not too fearful of that. It's really more so like, what does it mean to try to get pregnant again?
Right.
I have not decided exactly when Steven's ready. So it's really kind of...
Really?
He is, yeah.
Aww.
Yeah, and but he's been very, like, you know, leaving the ball in my court.
Right.
I'm starting to feel more ready. I'm also undecided on how much I'm going to share about it, like, as it's happening. I think I'm really going to take it day by day. I may decide I want to share just as openly as I did the first time, or I may decide that I want to keep it a little more private, and I'm not sure. So I will talk about it as I'm ready. Obviously, I'm talking about it now, so I'm comfortable with that. But I do ask that people don't speculate whether or not I'm pregnant. That's something that was really hard for me, especially when I was going through my miscarriages, of seeing comments of people like, oh my God, she's pregnant. I can tell it, you know, this timestamp. And it's like, well, I was, now I'm not. And so I asked not to speculate about that, but I am excited about having another baby, and I want Grace to have a sibling. And, as hard as pregnancy was, it's really special, and I'm excited and scared to do it again.
You guys are such great parents.
Truly.
Thank you.
I'm like, give them all the children, please. Yeah. Like, you guys are just so great. And that would be so beautiful to have another one. Oh my God.
I know. Can you imagine?
Oh I know. God. I'm like, we're already so obsessed with Grace. I know, I'm like, I know. Imagine. I'm like,
another?
And another one.
Yeah.
In regards to lots of children, I'm going to take that as more than three. I want to have kids. Yes. But I'm still weary on if the kids outnumber the parents, you know, once they start outnumbering you like 3-4, I don't know if I could do four, you guys. So I think that, I mean, I'm not even anywhere near having children that I'm aware of. you know, I feel like I have to disclose that because you never know.
Right.
But no, no more than two are in the plans right now. I think. Anything could happen. I have a kid and I'm like, I'm obsessed. Let's have five.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think it's so good to keep your mind open.
Yeah.
Because things can change so much once you have one or two or.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So. Mm. Well. So, Ryan, how many do you want?
Well, in the wise words of Sir Justin Bieber, never say never. So I will never say that I'm not going to have kids, but I'm not planning my life to have them. If they come, then they come. And if I, you know, if I meet somebody that I like want to have a family with, and that like becomes a part of the conversation, then okay, whatever. But I'm not planning my life or living my life to have children and be a mom. So
yeah,
she's looking forward to just being an auntie around.
Oh
here.
My God, absolutely.
Yep. She's like, I want to be that fun auntie role, like, yes, so badly.
Yes.
And that's great because you get to have fun, and then you get to say, now go home.
Right. Return to sender. Yep. Thank you. But I do think that if I become a mom, that I would be the best mom that I can be. I think that I would be like a good mom.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave it at that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Listen, being a mom's tough.
I'm sure it is.
I was like, I'm not a mom.
It looks hard as hell.
I know.
Jeez. Being a kid is hard as hell, so I can't imagine trying to, like,
I know.
Guide the child. Yeah.
I know. And you know what? There was a part of me that was like, I don't think I'm going to have kids. There was like a space in my time in my life where I was like, I'm not going to have kids. And I was just so worried because I heard this quote, and I think it still lives true, that it's like, once you have kids, you live with your heart outside of your body. And I'm like, you're so right. I would be so stressed all the time, just like fearful that are they okay? And I understand that. That kid obviously is my child and I love them, but they don't belong, quote unquote, to me. So they are free to do whatever they want. And just like the thought of that, of allowing them to me, you don't know what's best for you. Like, I don't know, just like anything happened to them. Like, I don't know if I could take that heartache. I'm too tender for that. So, but then I think that I'm not living life to its fullest and just like wanting to restricting myself of what I actually want because of a fear. You know, so that's why I was like, no, you actually want children, girl, live life. I was like, okay.
My biggest like concern with having kids is like, obviously parents do the best that they can. Well, a lot of parents do the best that they can do and they try hard and they do the thing.
Right.
But what you do as a parent in your child's life, especially in the really developmental years, affects them forever. And kids don't stay kids. They grow up and become adults. And that's, I'm like trying to like unlearn a lot of things and like really work through my issues with myself. And I have a really hard time thinking that like, if I have a kid, even if I do my very best and they turn out to like really struggle with a lot of things that I caused, like that is really hard for me to grapple with. Like that's a really hard concept for me. And so I'm like, how about we just don't? And then I don't have to, that's, then it's not an issue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I remember near the end of my pregnancy, I was all of a sudden hit with this realization that like, I am about to birth a human that I am going to shape their worldview.
Yep.
And as someone who has a mental illness, I all of a sudden got stricken with this fear that my struggles with bipolar disorder were somehow going to make me a bad parent. And I remember talking to Kenzie about it and crying and being like, what if I'm a bad mom? And she was like, you just thinking that means you're not going to be a bad mom because you're already thinking about it.
Yeah. Right.
You're not sitting there going, I'm perfect. I'm going to be the perfect parent. My child's going to be perfect. You're sitting there thinking through, how can I be the best mom for my child? And that already means that you care and that you're trying. And that was really helpful. And I think another quote that really helped me was the best parent for your child is you.
Mm-hmm.
Like you may see all these other moms on social media who you feel like are just doing it. And they would be, if you were just like that, your kid would be so much better off and you would be such a better parent. But they are the best parent for their child. And you are the best parent for your child. And that was like a big realization too of like, I may feel like I'm not the best parent all the time, but I am the best parent for Grace.
And she is so blessed to have you.
Thank you.
All right, here's another. You're all either vegan or vegetarian.
False.
Nope.
I am vegetarian, but a lot of people think I'm vegan because I used to describe the way I eat as plant-based, which I still do off camera.
Yeah.
That's how I mostly eat. Mostly comes from plants. However, when you say plant-based, a lot of people think entirely plants.
Mm.
And so then when I show myself having a cheese pizza, Greek yogurt, ice cream, that's not vegan. I'm like, I have been vegan, but I've never been vegan online. I was vegan before I started YouTube. And I've been vegetarian my entire time on YouTube. But I just publicly do not use plant-based as a descriptor anymore.
Right.
Too much confusion.
Yeah. Right?
But yeah, I'm vegetarian. But I feel like I'm relatively chill about it, I like to think.
Yes. Yeah, so honestly, sometimes I forget.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I forget. Like, you don't talk about it.
And also now, not talk about it.
I mean,
isn't that
know,
the thing that you'll always know
I'm
if someone's vegan because
yeah,
they won't shut up
they
about
will
it?
Always talk about it. Yeah, no, yeah. You don't talk about it. And also, every time we go somewhere to eat, like, there's always something you can eat. So it's
yeah,
not like
because
an issue.
Nowadays, especially where we live, like, yeah. There's so yeah. many options that yeah. you, like, you can always have
for
something.
Sure. And
yeah.
in San Diego, yeah. I feel like it's super normal
yeah.
to be vegetarian.
Yeah. LA, too.
It's been interesting to see the shift, too. I remember growing up. Every barbecue, I was the only veggie burger. This last barbecue that we did with my whole family and some like family friends and stuff, it was about 50-50.
Wow.
I know. Because like my mom's not vegetarian, but like she's been eating more like just plant-based and stuff just for health. And like my brother he doesn't eat red meat, but so he'll have a veggie burger if they're having burgers. And then a couple vegetarians and it's like, wow. We're taking over.
We're expanding. My mom's a vegetarian.
Is she really?
Yeah, I think she's been vegetarian for, I don't know, I would say like two or 3 years.
Yeah.
But it like, and she doesn't talk about it either. She just is.
Yeah.
You know, but I like a lot of different foods. So whenever mm-hmm. she's like, oh, I'm eating this, I'm like, well, I want to eat that too.
Yeah.
And it's vegetarian.
That's how Steven is. Because he eats meat.
Right.
But at home, we eat mostly vegetarian.
Right.
And Grace is pescatarian. So we're all a little different.
Those Impossible burgers, I cannot even taste that. Like, it's different. Like,
yeah.
I honestly remember ordering an Impossible burger in L.A. And I didn't even understand. Like, I just thought that was like the title of the burger.
Right.
This was like before it was like
a
mainstream. And I was like, this was fantastic. And then I think it was my boyfriend that was like, you know, that didn't have meat. And I was like, well, that's even better. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, P and Ryan, not veggies.
Yeah.
No veg heads.
No veg heads here.
No.
Maybe one day. I'm not opposed to it.
Like, yeah, I think
being vegan would be harder for me because of my tree nut allergy.
A lot of
the substitutions for things have like cashews and almonds and all that stuff, and I can't eat that. So that does make it a little bit harder, but I think I could probably be vegetarian.
I think like the future of food and eating like in a more planet conscious way, right, is actually not more people going full vegan or full vegetarian, but I think it's people making the choice to not eat meat more often.
Yeah.
Right. And it's not like I am a vegetarian, I never eat meat. It's like, oh yeah, I mostly don't eat meat. And then like once a week I'll have, you know, chicken sandwich or whatever. Mm-hmm.
I think that's
more the future.
I feel like that's how we eat unintentionally. Like obviously like no one in our house is a vegetarian or anything. So that's not something we talk about. But like sometimes like if we have chicken sometimes or like we'll be like, oh, you want to get Shake Shack? Okay, we'll get Shake Shack and get a burger. But like I eat a lot of noodles.
Yeah. A lot of pasta, like a lot of noodles, a lot of I love vegetables, mm-hmm. so it's just very easy to just do that.
Yeah, and I think that, because the thing is, like, the vast majority of people are not ever going to go vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this idea that, like, the whole world needs to be vegetarian is just not really feasible.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's more so people just, like, making more choices without meat, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say health, especially the red meat. Like, I was like, I need to chill out. Like, I started getting, like, meat sweats. I was like, I need to...
Not the meat sweats.
Well, we were... Okay, it was, like, one time I remember I was, like, I love burgers. And so I was, like, we were doing, like, Five Guys Shake Shack. And I think it was, like, another burger in the same week. And I was like, okay, I'm really... I gotta need a cleanse. Maybe a smoothie, perhaps.
I need to reel it.
I need a vegetable. Yeah,
I need a vegetable. And my justification is, like, well, the burger has lettuce, tomato, onion, jalapenos, mushrooms.
It's practically a salad.
Exactly. That's so funny.
Our last assumption is assuming this podcast isn't for those of us over 40.
No.
It's for everybody.
It's for everyone. And I think the name 20 whatever, I think I've seen a couple comments being like, oh, is it not for me if I'm like 30 or 40? But it's that because that's where we are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that's only for people. Right. Yes.
And honestly, if anything, I feel like those people that are 30, 40, can just listen to this and be like, oh my gosh, I remember being in that and experiencing that. And maybe who says that you didn't think about these things or have these conversations when you were in your 20s? Maybe it wasn't until 30s or 40s that this started like reminiscing with you. So it absolutely isn't. It's just
the name. That's where we are. We're all in our 20s. So
we are 20, whatever.
Yeah.
But talking about our life experiences up until this point, which is 20, whatever.
Yeah. And if you're even younger than us, right? We talk about like 30s or 40s. If you're like in high school or if you're young, like we hope that you can also relate if you are in this stage of your life, you know, but also like maybe this will help you into your 20s.
Get ready for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
This is for everybody.
Everyone are welcome.
Yes, all are welcome here.
Yeah. Well,
on that.
That is going to be.
My glass is empty. Yeah.
Oh, I've got a little bit left. Hold on.
Drink it. You empty?
Ready?
Oh, I don't. Do you cheers an empty glass? There you
go. Well, we are here.
We are.
Just to symbolize that we're empty.
We cheers empty glasses.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Make sure to give us 5 stars on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to us on YouTube. I'm just going to put it out in the universe. We want to get to 100,000 on the podcast.
Yes.
That is our big numbers oriented goal.
Manifestation.
100,000 subscribers on the YouTube channel for the podcast.
I think that's absolutely doable.
I think we're at like 48, 47.
Yeah, we're almost at 50. Like we're not too far from 50. So we're almost halfway there.
We got this.
Yeah.
So I believe in our viewers.
Yes.
If you're listening to this, help us make it happen.
Yes.
But thanks so much for watching or listening, and we'll catch you next week.
Bye.